Coming up next, it's More Talk Radio with hosts Celeste Carey and Cecil Prescott. Today's guests are Jerry Washington, Annette, and Khalil Edwards, and Julie Wallet from PFAG.
The KBOO Spring Membership Drive starts April 29th. This vital fundraiser ensures that we can pay our bills through the summer, and you can help make it go a bit quicker by offering a matching donation of at least $500 for us to use on air. Matches are a really great way to motivate other listeners to donate, so please contact our membership department if you're interested or have any questions. Either email membership@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032 and ask for the membership department to set up your Spring Drive matching donation today.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Revisioning Value, the intersection of purpose and profit. This conference will bring together leaders from the varied fields of impact investing and social innovation to share how new models for both are increasing the flow of capital to the creation of a more just and sustainable world. The one-day conference is followed by a day of hands-on workshops and strategic action roundtables designed to help participants apply the ideas offered at the conference to their own organizations and to create actionable tools and strategies for the future. The keynote speaker will be Dan Pallotta, author of Uncharitable, which looks at the limitations placed on charities. The first day of the conference will be on Monday, April 26th from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Garden Theater. For more info, kboo.fm/revisioning.
Good morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM. My name is Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey, and you're listening to your community connection, KBOO 90.7 in the metro area, 91.9 if you're in Hood River, 100.7 in the Willamette River Gorge Valley, Cleft Place.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm having these visual images pop up.
All right.
Yeah. Trees, verdant.
I'm quitting right now. We thank all of you for joining us, whether you're having visions or not.
It's Monday. I think we should start out the week with a lovely verdant vision. How about that?
That's wonderful.
Hey, why not?
And we're so glad that you have joined us this morning. We want to remind you, if you are interested in being a part of our conversation, to give us a call. Our phone numbers we will give out in a few minutes, as well as our email address. We are pleased to have with us members of the Black PFLAG organization based here in Portland. And they are here to talk about their organization and some of their activities and also around issues around, many things we're going to talk about this morning in, 50 minutes or so. Let me introduce our guest this morning. And we have joining us this morning Jerry Washington, who is an organizer for Black PFLAG. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am wonderful. And I do have a vision.
Okay.
Great.
Yep.
You want to share it now? You want to hold it for a minute?
Let me hold it.
Okay. See, Cecil? I love you.
And also, also with us is Jayla Waleed.
Yes.
Who is also with PFLAG.
I am.
Okay. Thank you for joining us this morning.
And I haven't had the vision yet.
You haven't had the vision.
No.
Well, we didn't say it had to be the vision.
No.
It could be a
any
vision.
Vision. Okay.
Any vision that pertains to your reality you want to share.
Okay.
Something beautiful.
And also joining us are, well, it was a debate. We have a father and son, and the mother's in the background. So you may hear her in the back.
You may hear loving encouragement.
Loving encouragement. But on the mics right now are Khalil Edwards, the son, and Keith Edwards, the father. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, Khalil, you're sitting where your father said, 10 years ago or more, when I had you on for, we were talking about employment opportunities.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's a family tradition of activism that we're recognizing here today. And activism, one of the things that's really beautiful about it is that it has the power to change minds and to inform. And so we're hoping that we can inform so that people can step out and maybe change minds and, what shall we say, galvanize the community?
Galvanize the community.
All right. There
Excellent.
We go. There
so
we
maybe
go.
We should begin by speaking first with Jerry. If you can just, we said PFLAG, many people may not know. Just give us a short introduction of what is Black PFLAG, and then we'll begin and expand our conversation.
All right. Well, I'm really glad that Celeste mentioned the word galvanize and to inform, because one of the models I carry in any and every organizing work that I do is the goal is always to educate, motivate, and activate. And the only way we can do that is if we come together on one accord with the true understanding of what the mission and the goal is for the organizing work that we're doing. And with PFLAG, P-F-L-A-G, it simply means parents, family, and friends of lesbian and gays. And in a supportive way to our Black community, we want to be able to provide that support as a parent, as a family, and as friends. And so looking at all the other obstacles and barriers as people of color, especially the African-American community that we face, this is one of the challenges that we want to make absolutely sure that comes, that is very clear in the understanding that we must provide support, whether we believe in an issue or moving in that direction of belief. Coming together under one mission and one vision is real important. So the work that I do with PFLAG is have those one-on-ones with individuals in our community and ask the question, what is it that you're looking for as far as support? In starting this chapter, we want to make sure that it's not just a regular once-a-month meeting that folks come and say, oh, I went to a meeting. But it is an opportunity for folks to come and find out the resources that are available through sharing and caring, and that's what my role is. But the most important role of all is those who come and share and is willing to share and provide information and education around either the struggles that they went through so nobody else will have to go through it, or the wonderful opportunities and advantages that are ahead that we all need to share in.
PFLAG as an organization has been around for some time in many forms and chapters. Why the need for a African-American or Black PFLAG in this area at this time?
That's a wonderful question, Cecil. PFLAG is a national organization and have been around for a number of years. But more specifically, as I mentioned earlier, are the issues that directly affect the African-American community, the Black community. And so as we look and identify those issues, we want to be able to put in place an advocacy to where we can overcome those issues. So one issue may, for the Black community, end up being five or six And so as we continue to try to reduce that number and address those issues in specific ways, only the Black community can do that. Because one of the barriers that we definitely have is the church is a cornerstone for many African-American families. And so once we start to make inroads to our church community, our faith community, in an accepting way, then and only then can we begin to address the other issues that we face. But Black specific is what this the Portland Black chapter is dealing with. But one other key piece is that we want to be a roadmap for other cultures, because what we face as African American or Black community, the Latino, the Native American, have their issues that they have to face as well. And so we want to create a model for that, making that happen.
One of the issues that you raised in passing, you mentioned the Black church, but also related to that, you mentioned the Black community. One of the things we've often hear over times is the crisis of the Black family. And I'm really excited that we have a family here with us to share something about their own journey together. And so I want to bring in Keith and Khalil at this time. And, you know, it's an example of a Black family in terms of supporting one another. I think I'll begin with the elder, Mr. Edwards. Thank you for joining us. And could you share something about why your families and why your family and you are involved in Black PFLAG?
I think the main reason we're involved is simply because Khalil is one of five children that we have, and we love all of our children. And he is no different than our children. I mean, in regards to who he is, he needs to be able to express who he is and be comfortable with that. There's a lot of ignorance, I believe, in the Black community, and which is born out of fear. And because of that ignorance, they don't understand that we're all human beings. We all have rights, and we all should be able to be who we are. If we look back at our history, especially in this country, African-Americans used to do this Uncle Tom shuffling role, and that was not being who they really should be. That's not being who they were. But they had to act out and more or less hide who they were in order to be accepted. That's not right for anyone, you know. It's everyone should be accepted for who they are, and regardless of what they're, whether they're a heterosexual or homosexual, that should have nothing to do with about who they are and being accepted and being respected for who they are.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 here in the city, and we're here with Keith, Khalil, Jerry, Jayla, and we're talking about PFLAG and how it promotes an activated Black community here in Portland, some of the challenges that the community face, and some of the successes that the community can experience and has experienced. And so, Keith, you mentioned the need to be supportive of your children and the need to be able to be who you are, to fully benefit both yourself and society. What are some of the challenges you faced as a Black father in trying to both blaze a path for your son toward what it means to be a Black man, but also provide him the necessary shelter, I guess you would say, kind of like if I were to use a football analogy, some blocking, you know, to make sure that he has those opportunities to be who he is.
Well, I think we have to be able to stand up and support people about who they are and where they are. I was riding with a friend in a one time years ago, and my cousin, who happens to be mentally disabled, he's deceased now, but he was mentally disabled, and we were riding in the car, and a person in the car said, that guy there, he's crazy. And I said, he's not crazy. I said, that's my cousin. I said, he's mentally challenged. I said, but he's not crazy. And I've had the same experience with friends and acquaintances that tend to make jokes or talk about, you know, express their homophobia. And I think they feel comfortable in doing that, especially in a masculine environment. And so in those conversations, I bring out the fact that, you know, why would you ostracize somebody or I guess beat up on someone who is just being who they are? And I believe, you know, that, and I don't know how deep this is, but I look at it and say, I didn't choose to be a heterosexual. I was born that way. And I believe that everyone else, you know, was born the way they are. If you're homosexual, if you're bisexual, you were born that way. It's not something that you choose to be. And so people should not be ostracized for that. It's like being born black. Why should I get beat down because I was born black when I had no choice in that?
And I think a very important point you just made in terms of being who we are, in terms of being supporting one another, and also challenging those around us. Many of us have been in, well, I've been in barbershops and with my sisters. I went to beauty parlors, so I don't know the culture about beauty shops, but I know more about barbershops. And in terms of, you know, what goes on, in terms of the dialogue, in terms of the back and forth, and it's a very, maybe sometimes hyper-masculine place to be at, and sometimes challenging to challenge some assumptions that people make. So it's important to stand up and speak and be supportive of those who, much like your relative who was unable to speak for himself. I want to bring Khalil in, and
if I could just share for a moment, sure. When we were out supporting No on 36, we went to the barbershops in the black community, and we're really. It was really an eye-opener, some of the ignorance that's out there. And I don't say ignorance in a derogatory manner. I think, you know, if people become educated, that's what it's about, and then they're no longer ignorant. And too often we have these preconceived notions without getting all the facts up front. And that's unfortunate. But going around to those barbershops where, you know, you walk in and everybody's like, hey, high-fiving you and, you know, fist-bumping. But as soon as you say No on 36 and you explain the issue, it's like, oh no, we ain't down with that. And that's unfortunate because, you know, they really don't understand all the facts. They, like I say, have these preconceived notions based on ignorance.
You know, just to face down that has got to be a challenge. Is there any example of just a kind of exchange that you might want to share of how you were able to kind of face it down or at least explain and have light bulbs go on?
I don't know if light bulbs went on so much, but I can, in that particular instance, but I know when I share that my son is a homosexual and that, you know, he's gay. And when I share that with my friends, it kind of shuts them down. They get real quiet, you know, because like, okay, they were offending me. But at the same time, I don't get quiet. You know, I'm here to try to share some information with you so that you'll become a little bit more enlightened and you'll have a better understanding of who we are and why you should not be homophobic to begin with.
And so do the guys use this as an opportunity to ask questions, thinking, well, I know you, maybe you'll know something that might enlighten me?
Yes, and I have had that where they do ask questions about it. And in those questions, I'm able to explain a little bit more and enlighten them. And I think it makes a difference because then, you know, they have a better understanding of who everyone is and have a better respect for each and everyone.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. We're speaking with representatives of Black PFLAG. Our numbers here are 503-231-8787. Or you can email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. I know that you see.
That's all right. That's good. It's tag teaming.
Tag teaming. Okay.
There it is. All right.
I want to bring Khalil in the conversation here this morning, and thank you for joining us. And
thank you.
I think I know you're a teacher, and I know you work with young people, but if you feel comfortable, could you share with us in terms of your conversation with your parents in terms of sharing who you were, or how did that, did you have a strong enough relationship with your parents so that, I don't know, was there a point in time when you said, Mom and Dad, I'm gay, or?
Yeah, I did. I mean, we did have that conversation, and our relationship, we had a very strong relationship to where, I mean, I've heard lots of horror stories growing up and lots of, you know, sad stories and dramatic stories, but, you know, the kind of family I was raised in, the kind of environment I was raised in, it was always very open and honest and accepting of, you know, different walks of life and, you know, just in general of people and who they are. So when we did have that conversation, it was pretty much basically a non-issue. So, you know, people are always telling me time and time again, you know, how blessed I am to have gone through that. You know, many of my friends, many of my black gay friends often tell me that, you know, that is totally opposite to the experience that they had. But, you know, when I did come out to my family and to my parents, it wasn't an issue and it wasn't a huge moment. You know, it was, you know, they accepted me and it wasn't something that they had to get over and get by. And it was who I was. It was another aspect of who I was. Just the same as me, you know, telling them something else about myself that, you know, and, you know, and it being a part of who I am. So, sad to say, my experience was kind of unique, as far as, you know, anything I can compare it to. But, you know, I'm really blessed to have had it be that way, because it wasn't something that I really was, I didn't have much to worry about. I wasn't very, you know, scared to have that conversation. And when I did have it, you know, it was, you know, it was a relief for me to be able to, you know, once you do tell someone, once you do come out the closet with your family, it's like a weight that's been lifted off of you. But, so I did have that relief to say, okay, well, my family knows, you know, I don't have to hide anything anymore. And in actuality, you know, it was like, why didn't I have this conversation a long time ago? Because it wasn't any kind of big deal. And I think that that's, you know, a problem that my story is unique, and, you know, that's very sad, and that's what we need to change, the fact that, you know, my story was unique. It shouldn't be a unique story. It should be, you know, if I'm telling you who I am, you know, mom, dad, auntie, cousin, you know, uncle, brother, sister, then, you know, you just have a new piece of information about me, and, you know, let's move on from that, or let it be, you know, maybe a learning point and take it from there. But now, not a reason to ostracize me or, you know, penalize me in any kind of way, which is really why we need this PFLAG Portland Black chapter. It's because for parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, brothers, sisters, cousins, you know, friends that have known people for a long time, whether it be your child or your nephew or your niece or whoever it is, and, you know, to help them come to terms with something, an issue that they may be struggling with. So, you know, as they find support among people who have gone through or are going through what they're going through, they can learn to, you know, be more accepting and be more informed about, you know, and just get more support around the issue. So my story becomes less of a unique story.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio on your Community Connection. Join in the conversation here, 503-231-8187. Or you can hit us up on our email at moretalkradio@gmail.com. So then we've got father talking about the experience from one perspective, son talking about the experience from another perspective. And then we have united them with their efforts in advocacy and education with PFLAG. So, Jerry, how do you weave these stories together in a way to help use them as a teachable opportunity for the community?
That's a very good question, and I've had to do it so many times. But what I usually try to do, or we all try to do, is use those as learning experience and as tools. There's a lot of available resources out there for reading, but I just got to tell you, it's that personal experience that carries more weight than anything. Because what I experience with my niece and my nephew, and I share it with someone else, then they in turn will be in a better position because they've actually seen the results of that one-on-one conversation, that accepting conversation, that loving conversation and experience. So that's basically what how I use those stories. But the horrifying stories are the ones where our youth commit suicide or assisted suicide. And those are the ones that are really hard to use in a way that provides the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, the cousin, the uncle, the aunt with the tools to put in their tool belt so that they will be able to look for signs of where that child needs assistance or need to be in an environment where if you can't provide that assistance or that hope, that love for them, that you be able to identify some place where you can take your child to receive that. And I hate using the word take your child or take your family member, because it's all about building that family and being supportive is what I always try to achieve. And it takes me back, as Keith was telling his story about around 36, takes me back to my experience with Noel 9.
In 1992.
In 1992. And then I always say 1992 because you never see the right wings coming back again, because we put it to them. But it takes me back to those, to my days of working on that campaign as a deputy campaign manager, how even in my own Black community, the first thing that was asked of me was, Jerry, are you gay? It wasn't, Jerry, are you doing this because we want equality and acceptance of everyone and provide education to everyone in all aspects? No, it was, Jerry, are you gay? Heterosexual all my life, but I do believe in equal and social justice for all. So, again, telling those stories, using those as resource is really what it's all about, and as far as my work as an organizer.
And I just want to add that, you know, we all should have that belief, equal and social justice for all. When someone outside the Black community steps forward and, you know, helps in a cause for moving Black people forward in social justice or equality, you know, people don't question them and say, you know, are you married to someone Black, or do you have someone Black in your family? It's just like, oh, okay, you're helping us out. You're taking our cause. Okay, you down for the people. You must, you know, you must believe in this. So we should need to have that same attitude when, in moving and getting social equality for gay and lesbian LGBT folks. Like, it doesn't matter what your sexuality is. You know, we believe in social equality, and this is why, you know, this is why Jerry does it. This is why other people does it. So their sexuality should not even be a question, just like it isn't for when other people take up the cause of people of color and trying to advance, you know, our struggle.
One of the issues that we continue to face that I think you would like to address is young people that we touch upon lightly. Every once in a while, when riding the bus, I see this young male to female transgender young person, and she's riding the bus and seems relatively well adjusted. But I'm always amazed that there she is, out and young, and I'm always fearful about, you know, her circumstances in school, how vulnerable she is in schools and things like that. Khalil, could you talk something about the challenges that young LGBT black youth face?
The challenges are great, and it's really horrifying when you look at some of the numbers of discrimination and harassment that is faced in schools. I recently did a panel because of this reason, talking to future educators that are college students that will be, you know, teaching our children in Portland about the issue of having safe schools and making sure their classrooms are safe for all students, because you know, a lot of the issues that surround gay and lesbian students, bisexual, transgender students that are middle school and high school age, and it's like a lot of times people not accepting their children, you know, you're passing that torch down of non-acceptance, of bullying, of intolerance, and you're basically teaching your children to become, when you're teaching them not to accept other people, you're basically teaching them to harass and bully people. And a lot of these kids either have been killed, they have committed suicide, they have been murdered by other students who had a perception of what their sexuality was, you know, as young as eighth grade. As young as fifth grade, kids are, you know, suicidal, committing suicide or attempting suicide. And, you know, that's an atrocity. That should not happen in any shape, way, or form. And so, you know, we really have to think, like, what am I passing down to my kids? What are my kids going to school and doing? Am I teaching them to accept people that they come across, or am I teaching them at home that it's okay to look down other people and not have compassion and generosity? You know, we should be angry anytime we see discrimination, whether it's against people of color, whether it's against gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender people. We should be, you know, our faith teaches us to have compassion and generosity towards those who are vulnerable. And, you know, too many times I don't see that happen, and it's often I don't see that happen among people who claim to be very spiritual and have a strong faith and foundation in God. So it's like, what are you exactly being taught, or are you living what you're being taught? Like, I find that hard to understand often.
And we do have a caller on board. Thank you for being patient. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I guess if gays or lesbians in the military come to your organization and they're being oppressed, whatever, I guess there's very little that can be done to support or protect them in a big situation like that. But anyway, I'll listen to what you have to say. Thank you.
Do you have any military families or vets as a part of Black PFLAG, or are you open to them participating?
Oh, definitely. As I said earlier, it's all about the parents, family, and friends. And as you look at in our community, we hope, just like any relationship that you start out as friends first, and then you become take it to the next step. And so as our community, we all have to be friends. And so taking it to the next step makes us family and all in a supporting way. But I just want to go back to what Khalil said about the youth. We are fortunate, and I'm going to say this real quick, fortunate, because we're not fortunate enough. But the legislature has done a wonderful job in establishing laws to protect our youth, laws that we didn't have in the past, where the bullying would occur, and which would result in death in many cases, but in a lot of cases, our students would drop out of school, and we know how important quality education is. And so now we've got cyberbullying, anti-cyberbullying on the law, on the books, and we've got the stalking, and I think that's going to be helpful to a number of our students. Again, it's not the best of best, but it is a start.
Yeah.
I would like to talk a little bit about the black church as well, because Black PFLAG needs the support of the black church. And unfortunately, I used to attend a large black church here in the city, and I had a friend who is a lesbian. Her and her partner attended church. They were good Christian-loving folks. My friend dressed like me. She was no pretense. And her partner died, and she was told that she could not have the funeral at that church, and I have not attended that church since. Unfortunately, this is the ignorance that's being spread by some pastors, and I think the black church needs to step back and think, what would Jesus do? You know, we hear that, and you know, but it's not necessarily in practice, because Jesus came to change the law, and Jesus accepted everyone, and as we say in the black community, God don't make no junk, and so we need to embrace that and recognize that that's reality. It's not just a token phrase that we should be using.
And I just want to add, a very good friend of mine gave me a book, a new friend. I always try to find new friends every day, that as we talk about church, and the title of the book is What the Bible Really Say About Homosexuality. And it's by Daniel A. Helmanek. See, that's what you call teamwork. Yes. But I said all that to say this, and that is, I try to get my hands on as much reading as possible, because I want to look at all views and perspective, because then and only then will my ignorance in some cases turn to education or being educated. And this book has been a real eye opener for me, because I do pride myself on always reading the Bible, and this has really been an eye opener.
Jayla, you had something to say.
Yeah, I got really excited in a couple of issues. One of them, hearing Keith talk about the black church. And the black church was really important when we were going through a slavery thing. But the black church is very conservative. And so therefore, a lot of times we either address things late or we don't address them at all. Getting black churches to address HIV, AIDS, and gay, to have the conversation of being gay and lesbian, which ties into our community of how do we deal. And most of the time, our families either just outright reject it, and that is not so unusual, because I'm from Atlanta, and Bernice King, Martin Luther King's daughter, was led a march against gay and lesbian people in Atlanta, Georgia. So it frightened me so much that, wow, this could happen here in Atlanta, Georgia. But also how our families, okay, you're gay and lesbian or lesbian, then we're going to keep it quiet. You can bring your partner around, but it must be invisible. The person must be invisible. And for God's sake, let's not talk about y'all being a couple or being romantically involved. Now, this statement, myself, I had to wonder why. And what I realized was that as an African-American people who came from slavery, romance wasn't a thing that we talked about. We use things like I got to partner with benefits or, you know, slang. But we don't say how much I love you and understand you and you're my beloved. Mm. And so therefore, we're not able yet to have all the conversations that we need to have regarding our children being gay and lesbian. Mm. Because we are conservative people. But the issue is that there's a bigger issue inside of us of our children being gay and lesbian. The bigger issue is bullying. And 65%, a study GLSEN did, 65% of the children reported they were being bullied. And children are committing suicide. And we already know that being a teenager is an awkward situation. But to have people bullying you and to be scared all the time and to not have any allies. And, you know, PFLAG is also a tactical system. We want to tell you through tactics how to take care of yourself. It's not as if it's a elementary school going back and forth saying things like your mama and stuff like that. It's about you. And it's about being scared, and it's about bullying, and it's about being hurt and possibly being killed. I don't take it as a joke. I don't take it as, oh, it'll pass. And I think many school administrators don't know how to deal or don't deal effectively on protecting our children. But don't be confused. It's not only our children. It's your children, too, because if 65% of the children are being bullied for religious differences, for the way they look, the way they might be even perceived to be gay or lesbian, you know, and to be, you know, just to be, then we have a nationwide problem and you can't sit home and be comfortable.
Well, one of the things that comes up out of what you're saying, Jayla, is the fact that we're dealing with both the results of an internal and an external environment here. Externally, we're worried about physical threats, we're worried about bullying, we're worried about just being ostracized. But the high incidence of suicide speaks to that internal environment. Are we dealing with depression, you know? Are we dealing with other kinds of acting out? You know, suicide is just one of the issues. Of course, it is possibly the most permanent and the most damaging, but at the same time, it's just one of the issues that will come out of that. How does PFLAG support, especially youngsters, and I guess, Khalil, this would be a good time for you to speak, in terms of addressing the mental health aspects of it?
Well, I just want to add, before I answer that, to give more information about PFLAG and the Safe Schools Initiative. We're on Facebook under PFLAG, PFLAG, Portland Black Chapter. So you can find us on Facebook and be our friend. Go ahead and add us. It's okay. And the Safe Schools information comes from the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And you can find them under glsen.org. And they have tons of information there. So to answer that question, you know, PFLAG is there with they have tons of information and reading materials. And just the environment is a welcoming and affirming environment for all who come, gay, lesbian, straight, whoever you are, whatever you are, however you are. And so that support and just to be in a place, I can tell you that, you know, being a gay black man, to be in a place where, you know, it's okay to be you, who you are, does a lot for your self-esteem, does a lot for your morale, does a lot for you internally. You know, having that in my family, being able to go home every day to that, was a load off my back. Having that, you know, in other, being around my friends in other environments, You know, because, you know, I would go to work and, you know, I couldn't necessarily talk about the relationship I was in. I didn't necessarily feel comfortable having that conversation with coworkers, or, you know, might let them assume, you know, that I wasn't homosexual. And so, you know, they might ask, oh, where's your girlfriend, or who's your girlfriend, or who are you dating, or, you know, and just not having that comfortability, and just not having that, being able to be in that kind of affirming environment, wherever it was, whether it be work or other environments. So to be able to go home and be able to talk to my mom and dad and say, oh, you know, I went on a date with so-and-so, and here they are, you know, or just to, you know, be able to have that talk about what's going on in my life, no matter what it may be and what it was about, felt really good. And so PFLAG is another venue for that. And for some people, that's their only venue, that's their only avenue to, you know, be able to be in that affirming, supportive environment.
You know, so, we as a people talk about families and the importance of family. And we mentioned religion and the church, but we also like to celebrate. And I wonder, is there any celebration going on soon?
We are definitely going. We like celebrating too. But first, I just want to follow up with what Khalil said, that warm, reaffirming environment. If you want to be a part of that warm, reaffirming environment, come join us. The PFLAG Portland Black Chapter meet the third Saturday of each month. Right now, we're planning for this wonderful celebration, but we also provide an opportunity to bring in educational resources. And you talked about mental health. One of the speakers that we're going to have at one of our future meetings is going to talk specifically about the youth and mental health issues. So we're looking forward to that, but we're definitely looking forward to May 8th. It's called Mother's Saturday, and we're honoring mothers of LGBT and trans children. And I got to tell you, the mother is not necessarily always the female gender. So come and join us. Hear some of these inspiring stories that are told by some of the folks who receive support. We're going to tell about loving and supporting persons in our lives. And we have a keynote speaker, Sharon Gary Smith. And Cecil, thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of the program. And we're going to have Brother Ascari, who's going to be doing a drum call. The drum call is to the children and the mothers. And so it's going to be Saturday, May 8th from 1 to 4. And it's going to be at Ainsworth United Church. It's located at 2941 Northeast Ainsworth. That's right here in Portland, really close to you, 97211. And we're looking forward to seeing you there.
And again, if you go to PFLAG Portland Black Chapter on Facebook, you can go ahead and add yourself to that event and RSVP and get a nice little reminder on your Facebook, just in case you know, you forget between now and May 8th. But yeah, it's gonna be a wonderful time for you know, parents to come out, children to come out, friends to come out. You know, come one, come all. We want to bring the community together, and you know, we're really, you know, pushing to get more parents to you know, be involved in the PFLAG Portland Black Chapter movement, and you know, support us as we support you.
And what time is that event on May 8th?
It starts at 1 o'clock, and we're going to go until 4. And again, we want to make absolutely sure we build in that social hour so everyone can have that opportunity to talk to each other.
Fellowship from 1 to 2.
Fellowship from 1 to 2.
As you continue to organize and meet and reach out towards the African American community, I'm wondering if you have anything to share. We mentioned about schools and the church. Tell us about your outreach in terms of outreach. I'm particularly interested in outreach to Black churches. Has it been difficult? Have you been able to have any successes with pastors or members of Black churches?
And Cecil, that is one of our most difficult circles. We have an organizing circle that we've designed as part of our long range and short range plan. And so we're hoping that a number of reaffirming churches have come forward. As a matter of fact, we meet at the Metropolitan Community Church, and they've been wonderful. Ainsworth United Church of Christ has definitely been there for us. They were there for us when we first started to meet, and they're there for us for any activities or celebrations that we have that calls for a large gathering. But I just got to tell you, it's our Black churches that we are really having the hardest time setting up opportunities to come in and give presentation. The hope is that once we start to show the video for The Bible Tells Me So, that will open up a lot more doors. But any church that's willing to have us come in and talk about PFLAG and what we do and how our goal is to definitely protect our most vulnerable population, and that's our youth. Just let us know, and our contact information is on our Facebook, so just look us up and give us a call.
Well, I do want you to give low-tech contact information here in a moment for folks who might not be on Facebook. But I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned in terms of outreach tools that are successful. It sounds as though finding something to kind of open the door has been a challenge. Is that what I'm hearing? As I noticed you mentioned the movie in terms of being one of your possibly strongest door openers. But have there been any really strong door openers you've used in the past?
You know, the strongest thing we can do is to talk to people directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when people tell you about their family, we need to tell them about our family. And sometimes it may come out to be a very cool situation, or it might not. But people respond better to just regular everyday people situations. You know, my barber told me about his family. We will have the discussion about my family. And it's like, either he'll remain my barber, which I really hope because he's good, or not. And so it's that one-to-one thing where when we're in a place where people are talking badly about gay and lesbian people, to stand up and say, hey, that's not right. You know, people deserve to be people, and we need to be tolerant of each other. And you might not approve of my lifestyle, but at least be respectful. And I think respect is a great big part of this, of being tolerant of other people.
So you see this as kind of a journey of mind to mind, one at a time.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. also not letting our families make us invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom just said, okay, she can be another sister in the family. Mm-hmm. So that didn't cause anybody to be upset or anything. No, she's not in our family. She does not look like us. She is my partner, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And they say to know me is to love me. So, you know, as you have those conversations with people and you get to know them and they get to know you, it's like it's kind of hard to hate somebody that you know them and you see that they're a genuine person. You see that they're, you know, a kind, compassionate person. You get to know their personality. So it's like, you know, it kind of, as you know people, it changes your perception.
In terms of, we do have a phone call. Let me get to the phone call real quick before I ask this last question here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Keith. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Earlier in the program, you were talking about a dream or a hope or a vision. And I guess my hope would be that someday, soon, very soon, that we no longer have these conversations and discussions, that people are treated fairly and equally and with respect in all walks of life, no matter whether they're gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual. that's just the comment that I want to make.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your thought, your dream. As we wrap this up, I guess what I'm looking at is how we build a chain to move forward. I understand that with PFLAG, you've got your education, you've got your advocacy, you've got your support. But I guess I'm looking for allies, too. Are there any of the other churches or ministers who've been able to be really strong in terms of moving this forward? Because sometimes it's, you know, colleague speaking to colleague that makes a difference. And I can appreciate that it's hard to get the doors open, to even get the dialogue started.
Is just like one day at a time. And we definitely have some wonderful allies who is making those giant steps in assisting us in opening some of those doors. How we measure that is by the return invitation to us to come into churches, because as we look at the children, we look at all children, and so yes, we're using our allies one step at a time.
And what's the low-tech way to contact PFLAG?
All right, so you can give me a call. That's Jerry Washington at 503-421-3343, or email me at high tech again.
Okay.
At washington.jerry, that's G-E-R-I, at yahoo.com. But low tech, 503-421-3343.
And once again, Khalil, maybe you can tell us about the event, the Mother's Day event. When is that again?
Yeah, we will see you on Saturday, May 8th. See you all there. Come on, come on, everybody. Come out, join us, celebrate our wonderful mothers. Ainsworth United Church of Christ, and come break bread with us, friends and family. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. We're on Facebook if you have it to RSVP for that event. If you're not able to do that, we'll just see you as you walk through the door. We'll be excited to see you there.
Great. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jayla. Thank you, Antoinette. Everyone, Keith, for coming in and sharing, and Keith, yes, for coming in and sharing and letting us know what your vision is for a strong and vibrant community.
Thank you for listening. This is KBOO. Stay tuned for the OMO Variety Hour. We will see here, speak to you next week.
Commune.